How are agencies successfully utilizing video technology? Go to the Video Teleconferencing Center at federalnewsradio.com, keyword video, sponsored by Tanberg, now a part of Cisco.
Hey, welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey, and delighted to have you with us in this miserable rainy day in the East Coast. And man, we just got hammered here in the Washington area. I mean, this tornado alerts in December the 1st and 2nd. That's pretty tough. We're going to be talking about health insurance today, how to cope with 2011 prices with a 2010 paycheck, with Walton Francis, the editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide. But first, I wanted to tap in to talk with Jessica Clement from the Federal Managers Association, because obviously the story du jour is the federal pay freeze. And Jesse, are you on the line?
I'm here. Thank you
for having me. I bet your phones are burning up, huh?
They are, as is my inbox.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for so many questions people have about this. You know, you'd think a pay freeze is a pay freeze. It means you're not going to get a raise.
Right.
But people are asking about promotions. People are asking about their intern status. They're asking about if they're within pay bands and all that kind of thing. Are you getting the same kind of questions?
Oh, yeah, we're getting a ton of questions. I think the biggest misconception out there is that the president can just do this and it goes into effect, which is not true. Congress needs to act to put a pay freeze into effect. So that I think that's the biggest misconception about what the president said on Monday. I mean, he can say that all he wants, but the pay raise is dictated by Congress. So Congress has to act to deny Fed the pay raise.
But if I was in Las Vegas, it would be safe, I would think, to bet that Congress is not going to reject this plan.
I think that would also be a safe bet, but I do think that there are a lot of federal employee-friendly members of Congress up on the Hill who most certainly are hearing from their constituents as well as the federal employee groups. So I'm not quite sure I put my money there yet, but, you know, you never say never, right?
Yeah, well, normally never, but in a case like this, I would, you know, given the magnitude of the changes in the election and the deficit commission coming up, and they're going to recommend, I believe, aren't they recommending a three-year pay freeze?
The co-chairman recommended a three-year pay freeze that also included bonuses, within grades, step increases, et cetera. I mean, that was the whole nine from the fiscal commission. They're supposed to come out with their proposal today or tomorrow, but whatever they come up with has to receive 14 of 8 out of the 18 in support of it. 14 out of 18 commission members have to vote in support of it, which at this point is highly unlikely.
Right, and they were also talking about, changing the high 3 system to the high 5?
Mm-hmm. That was one of their proposals as well.
Okay, but you don't give their the chances of them getting 14 of 18 members very much chance.
I don't, which is why we're focusing our efforts right now on what the president said on Monday and how appropriators are going to react if a pay freeze will go into the CR, which expires, you know, on Friday.
Well, this has put, particularly from a Democratic president, this has put people like Steny Hoyer and Jerry Conley and other Fed-friendly members of Congress, Democratic members of Congress, between a rock and a hard place, hasn't
Absolutely.
It?
I mean, Hoyer's statement on this was very strong. I saw Conley did, was on Fed News Radio yesterday. I mean, these guys, they're not happy. This is the livelihood of their constituents.
Okay, but and so as you point out, this is still Congress still has a say in this.
They do,
and the Congress could say no. We want to implement the 1.4% raise that you originally proposed, sir, or they could change the figure or do anything they want, huh?
They could. What's more likely is, I mean, I think a 1.4% pay raise is probably off the table at this point in time. But again, never say never.
Yeah.
If Congress doesn't act, if they are silent, if they do nothing in the month of December, by law, according to FEPCA, federal employees will receive the ECI minus 0.5%, and the ECI for last year was 1.4. So if Congress doesn't act, if they just stay silent in the CR on any pay raise issues, feds will get an across-the-board 0.9% pay raise.
Okay, so the stake has not been driven through Dracula's heart quite yet.
Not yet, but it is widely known at this point in time that the White House is sending over their language that they want in either the, you know, a CR or another bill that would specifically freeze federal employee pay for 2011.
Oh, great. Jesse Wilson, thank you very much for that update. That's very helpful, and I learned a couple of things here. And so we may be talking about this again in a week or so, huh?
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Here in studio, braving the elements of Walton Francis. Walt, you did a show here yesterday. We were talking about, I guess this is just an open season thing, but we've been seeing a lot of you lately.
You guys keep sending me up and down the beltway through the Tyson's Corner construction.
Bless your heart for doing it. You're doing very good work. Walton is the man. He's written the checkbook guide for the last 32 years, the 32nd edition. And, you know, learn something new every day. Federal workers have between 20 and 27 plans to choose from in a place like the Washington area. What they're faced with next year is 2011 premiums, and it's looking like they're going to have to pay them on a 2010 salary with the pay freeze. And you've been talking about ways that people could really mitigate that, huh?
Oh, absolutely. We used an example yesterday, which I thought was kind of interesting. Say you're a federal employee earning $50,000 a year, and you might have expected in better times, a couple of percent pay raise, and you might have gotten, say, $1,000 or $2,000 that you're not going to get. What can you do? Well, believe it or not, Checkbooks has figured out that there are probably a half dozen at least plans available in the D.C. area that would let most people who are currently enrolled in one of the higher cost plans save about $2,000 a year in some combination of reduced premium and reduced out-of-pocket costs. So, you can make up for the lost pay raise just by using the last 2 weeks of open season to figure out a more economical plan.
And I'm looking in your book and in the cheat sheet you gave me, the plans where people could save that much money singly and or as a family, the American Postal Workers Union Consumer-Driven Health Plan, CDHP, Aetna's CD Health Plan, GEHA plan, these are high deductible, Kaiser Standard, MDIPA, that's an HMO, Blue Cross Basic with a PPO, a preferred provider option, and GEHA Standard with a PPO. And those are all very well-known, very popular plans too, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And the Blue Cross, of course, has the lion's share of people in the federal program, but a lot of them are in the standard plan. They have been for years. And Blue Cross has a standard plan and a basic plan. What's the difference?
There's minor differences in the benefits. They're not identical, but they're both very, very good on the benefit side. There are two big differences. One is basic is a lot cheaper, far lower premium. And the second difference is that it only lets you go to preferred providers in the Blue Cross network. It's not an HMO, but it has that same, mm-hmm. If you go out of network, you pay everything. Whereas standard option lets you go out of network, but it'll cover in the real world maybe half of what mm-hmm. you pay out of network, but at least that's something. So you really have to make it's a trade off. Okay, do you want a little more out of network recovery, or do you want to save money on premium for sure? I'm not it's an individual decision everybody has to make. But if you're looking to save money and you're willing to accept. I mean, it's not like the Blue Cross network is shabby, okay?
Yeah.
Virtually every hospital is a preferred Blue Cross hospital and more than half of all doctors. So you're not accepting some huge restriction. Blue Cross Basic is a great buy and a natural, obvious choice for those who are otherwise happy in Blue Cross standard and using Blue Cross preferred providers.
Well, you made an interesting point the other day that I had not thought of. A lot of us who are not in HMOs, where the reason we're in a national plan is because our doctor's in it and we like our doctor. So you want to check every year, check with the doctor's office. He or she probably won't know, but somebody on the administrative side will. Find out if they're going to be in your health plan, your current health plan. If not, what health plans they're going to be going to. And also, and you raised this before, that some physicians are in two or three different health plans. So you might be able to get much lesser premiums and equally good coverage and still have your doctor by switching to a lower premium plan.
Absolutely. But there's yet another option, okay, or alternative, I should say, and that is suppose your doctor is in no plan and you really want to go to that physician. Well, hey, you could bite the bullet and pay cash. It's not illegal to pay. And a lot of people have like an internist they want to see every year, maybe once or maybe twice maybe a $100 visit? Well, suppose, why don't you pay the $100 out of pocket, join a plan that's got a $2,000 a year lower premium and pocket the $1,900 difference. Plus, you can always use a flexible spending account to pay, depending on your tax bracket, probably up to about a third of that $100. So it won't really be $100. It'll be $70. And this strategy works across any kind of plan. You could be in an HMO and say, there's just one doctor for one condition, you know, my arthritis doctor or my foot doctor or my chiropractor or, you know, or your internist. I will go to that doctor and pay out of pocket and use the HMO for my true health insurance and for all the expensive stuff.
Okay, lots of ways to skin the cat, huh? Our phone number here is 202-465-3080. That's 202-465-3080. And we've got a couple of questions here. One from Ella, and can't tell where she is. She's with the Labor Department. I'm single, 65, fair health. I am in Blue Cross Blue Shield now. I have OA. We don't know what that means. I guess overactive adenoids, but that's probably not right. I'm retiring at the end of the month after 40 years. Which plan would be best for me? So she's in good shape. 65, fair health, Blue Cross Blue Shield now.
Okay, first, and this is one of these cases where I really have to say you need to see the guide,
yeah,
checkbooks guide, at www.guidetohealthplans.org, because a couple of things are going to happen. First, you probably, I think Labor Department is one of the agencies that subscribes. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure. So she has a free subscription, courtesy of her HR people in the department, to look right at the online guide, right at her computer workstation. And what she's going to do, what I want her to do, is to compare plans with and without joining Medicare Part B. When she signs in on the guide, she has some options about how old are you and how big's your family and all that. And one of those questions is, if you're 65 or more, do you have Medicare Parts A and B or just A? Okay, you're going to get A pretty much automatically. Because that's really the big question, do you join Part B or not? And which plan is best will hinge on what decision you make on Part B. There's no simple answer on that. I will say that you should be thinking in a fairly... I would urge you to think broadly about, it's a great time to reassess all your options. An HMO may work for you. On the other hand, if you're going to be moving around or a snowbird or something, that may be the worst option for you.
All right, we need to take a short break here, talking with Walton Francis. And when we come back, we'll get to more questions. Our number here is 202-465-3080. We'll be right back here on WFED.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Branford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community, sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week, join host Deborah Roth and editor of Consumer Checkbook's Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees, Walton Francis, to discuss this year's open season and what federal employees need to know about FEHBP this year.
This week on Agency of the Month featuring the GSA is brought to you by Commercial Data Systems.
The GSA Federal Acquisition Service is charting a new course with a little help from Star Trek. Steve Kemp leads FAS.
It began with that famous monologue, Space, the Final Frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. And today, in the Federal Acquisition Service, we have some opportunities to boldly go where our organization has not gone before.
I'm Ruben Gomez.
Commercial Data Systems is a small, disadvantaged information technology systems integrator specializing in virtualization, cross-domain security, and database operations. With more than 25 years of contracting experience, CDS understands how to ease the procurement process for government clients. CDS offers GSA schedule purchasing with over 200,000 commercial off-the-shelf IT products, including a blanket purchase agreement for your Oracle hardware and software needs. To learn more, visit CDSinc.com. That's CDSinc.com.
Here's Bill Piott, special advisor to the administrator from GSA on the federal teleworking panel sponsored by FedsTelework.com, HP, Intel, and Microsoft.
Technology is absolutely not an excuse anymore. There's no reason technologically not to telework. It's all about the social behavior and whether or not the people are practiced at it. And this is one of the things I keep saying in GSA. I go, we have everything we need. Yeah. All we need is coaching and practice, and it'll take off.
Telework is advancing in Washington. The Telework Enhancement Act passed in the House recently. Hear lessons learned about implementing an effective teleworking program on the Fed Scoop panel brought to you by FedsTelework.com. Listen to the discussion on issues affecting federal employees and the way they do business. Panelists Bill Piott of GSA, Pamela Buddha of DOD, and executives from Intel, HP, and Microsoft discuss the advantages of working remotely. Find the scoop on what is happening in government news and telework at FedsTelework.com.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. The Deficit Commission, they unveiled their proposals today. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller will report on the provisions that will impact your agency. And we'll continue our coverage of the Obama administration's proposed federal pay freeze. One of the challenges, how do you manage in the age of austerity and manage amid the fears of cutbacks? We'll talk to an expert this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
We're talking today with Walton Francis. He's the guy that writes the checkbook guide to federal health plans, and it has become the Bible for many, many people. In fact, it's so highly regarded. We just had a question from somebody at the Labor Department, and I look on the list here, and the Labor Department is one of many departments and agencies that do subscribe for its own employees, so you can do it on government time. You know, look at your health insurance, because they want you to be happy. Health and Human Services, Energy, Department of Transportation, the IRS, huge operation. Many, many, looks like about 40 federal agencies are here, or components, subscribe to it. So before you despair, and if you can't find a book on the newsstands, you can go to your agency, and there's a good chance you may be covered by it. Well, I got an interesting question here from a lady with the Navy in Rhode Island. Said, anyhow, to cut to the chase, that she and her husband are bailed out of their health plan. She has rheumatoid arthritis, takes a medicine called Remicade, looking for something after the deductible to make me responsible for at least 15% of the cost of the plans. That's what the plans she's checking out want her to pay, and that would be $690 out of pocket with every infusion. I'm inclined to reduce the drug, but she knows that's dangerous, and this drug has helped her greatly with rheumatoid arthritis. How about the prescription benefit in health plans?
It's very good to excellent in just about every plan. That said, when you have a particular drug, it may or may not be a preferred drug on the plan's formulary and so on. So you really this is one of those cases where I usually tell people, look for a good priced plan, one that the checkbook rates as low in cost for both premiums and out of pocket. Start your search there. In this case, I'd flip that around. What I think she ought to do is talk to the physician and the pharmacy that are involved and ask them which plans best pay for this drug. And surely the answer will be there's one or two of the federal plans that pay for it quite well, covered quite well. What she wants to be in that situation where even though it's a $700 drug, it's a preferred drug and she'll only be paying 50 or 60 bucks out of pocket. Well, if there's only one plan that offers that good deal, that may drive her that way. But if there's a couple, she'll have a good set of choices like the rest of us. The other thing she should do almost for sure is set up a flexible spending account to cover the cost out of pocket, whatever it may turn out to be, for that drug. What I strongly recommend she not do is cut down on how often she takes it, which she raises a question about.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, $690 out of pocket a shot for her. Flexible spending account, you set up the amount up to $5,000, is correct?
Mm-hmm, correct.
And then they deduct it from your paycheck. And then you use that money to pay for whatever is not covered by your health plan.
And that lowers your taxable income by the amount you put in the FSA.
It's a win-win.
So it's a huge discount.
Yeah, you're getting a good discount. Okay, good question, good answer. Another one here from, Irene. And she says, family of five with three kids in elementary school, I need to take to make two allergy shots at the specialist every week. My husband gets at least one shot each month. Kids most often sick on weekends, so access to urgent care is important. Interesting. We fall through cracks when my daughter was in the hospital due to a tick bite. All doctors in network hospital were out of the Cigna network, so we need an out-of-network coverage in case of emergency. Except for allergy shots, broken limbs, three so far. She obviously has boys. And one tick bite, see above. We usually do not get to see doctors often, just regular colds, strep, flu, etc. Been in the past with Blue Cross Blue Shield, high option, with NALC, the letter carriers, and Samba this year. We love Samba, but it does not look attractive next year due to a big increase in catastrophic out-of-pocket limits, and so on and so on. NALC is not a bad choice, but so on. What do you think in her case?
It's complicated. I don't have a simple answer. I want to first say she may well want to consider an HMO. Now, she talks about, I really need to be able to go out of network. Hey, any HMO lets you go out of network in an emergency. That's not the issue. I'd even suggest she specifically check out Kaiser. They have emergency coverage on weekends. That's not an issue because Kaiser is very good at things like allergy shots. And you can just stop by the clinic. There's sure to be one near where she lives. Schedule your shots, get them, be done with it. The co-payments are nominal, okay? So even though she starts out thinking she's a real fee-for-service family, you know, that it's a fee-for-service family, I'm not at all sure they are. So open your mind, think broadly, check out Kaiser for sure. The other thought I'd have is you should check the drugs you're taking, the specific allergy drugs. Ask the pharmacy which plans are going to cover those best, okay? And the pharmacists normally know the answer to that. And they may say, NALC really is your best choice, and they can go. They have to pay a postal membership premium because they're postal employees. I also was going to say, and I suspect you're not eligible for the rural carrier plan, but they have one of the very best drug benefits, but you have to be a rural carrier,
right?
Not an urban carrier.
Yeah. The American Postal Workers plan and the mail handlers plan and the letter carriers plan. You can, if you're not a postal worker, join by paying, and it's a nominal fee. It's some kind of a minimum membership fee. Okay, that's good to know. And our number here is 202-465-3080. I know you're very big on these consumer driven plans and the high deductible plans. And high deductible, I can get my head around. It means you agree to pay X amount of money before the insurance kicks in, like with auto insurance, Geico or something. But the consumer driven throws me a little bit.
It's an expression of the philosophy behind the design of these plans. All of them, there's some different kinds, but the basic thing they have in common are twofold: the high deductible and the savings account that you get in your pocket, so to speak. Think of it as it's money in a bank waiting for you to use. And it's usually for a family, $1,500, $2,000. You get a free annual physical for everyone in the family, no cost, no co-payments. Then the next, I'll use the number $1,500. The next $1,500 you spend, you'll be using your savings account. If you don't spend it all, it rolls over to next year. It can grow indefinitely. It's not use or lose money. And if it's in one of these kinds of plans, the true high deductible plan, you can wind up keeping it the rest of your life, even if you retire, leave the federal government, whatever. Once you've used up your savings account, though, if you're that unlucky, you hit the high deductible area and you may pay the next $1,500 out of pocket. And then regular insurance kicks in. And all these plans have really good catastrophic protection, really good insurance protection. So what they're designed to do is make you think, do I really want that next doctor's visit because it's going to use up my savings account?
Okay. Need to take a short break here, talking with Walton Francis here in WFED 1500 AM. And we'll be right back.
Here's Don Leaf, the senior executive for cloud computing at NIST, on the Federal Executive Forum on Government Cloud Computing, sponsored by Riverbed Technology.
Those types of services and the boundaries on the improvements we can't envision. Just as historically there's a technology we think we will get certain benefits, and then those benefits exceed what we envisioned, I think that will be the case here.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
How do you consolidate IT without compromising performance? Make it happen with Riverbed. riverbed. With our WAN optimization solutions, you can virtualize your government data center with ease. Plug and play in as little as 15 minutes. Cut IT costs up to 30%. Accelerate agency applications up to 100 times. And keep data safe and secure. Learn more and download a free white paper at riverbed.com/virtualization. Riverbed. Think fast.
Join host Michael Keegan next week for a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Leaders Speak, a conversation with government technology leaders on the intersection of technology and government mission. Hear from Vance Hitch, Richard Spires, Dave Bowen, Dave McClure, and Dr. Bobby Braun. Next week on the Business of Government Hour. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
If you've been around Washington as long as I have, you know the one constant is change. The players change, laws change. If you're a federal retiree or soon to be one, you need to know that some of those changes could affect your retirement future. There's one association fighting to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's NARF, the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. If you work for or have worked for Uncle Sam, you need NARF. NARF is the only association that's dedicated to making sure your retirement is secure when you reach retirement. Don't wait until after you retire to join NARF. Check out their website at www.narfe.org. You'll see that NARF is a great investment for your retirement future. Then click on the Join Now button and join hundreds of thousands of federal retirees and employees as a NARF member. Or call them at 800-627-3394, 800-627-3394, and have them send you more information.
Plan now to attend a firm's December 16th luncheon to discuss how federal agencies are in a race to the finish line to implement Internet Protocol Version 6, learn how to comply with the administration's mandate, and hear from key government officials leading the charge. That's December 16th at 11:30 a.m. at the Hamilton Crown Hotel in Washington, D.C. Register today at www.affirm.org.
Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with Walton Francis. He's the world's leading authority on the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program, which is huge, almost 9 million people, largest one of its kind in the country. Many people say it's the best in the country, and it's been a model for years for people who want to reform the healthcare system to look at the FEHBP. Covers about a third, maybe more, of the people in the Washington area. It's cradle to grave. You can't be turned down for any reason. It has long been a model health plan. And one of the things you stress, rightly so, the reason people buy insurance is that's why they call it insurance. It's in case you have a catastrophic illness or an accident. And I was looking in your book, and the way Francis breaks down the book, if you haven't seen it, is it lists premiums, but that's only one factor. It also lists your likelihood of having a good year, a bad year, a medium sort of medical year, and what your other costs in addition to premiums will be. And for younger people, the odds of their having a catastrophic medical year, that is with medical bills exceeding $25,000, is 4%. Once you hit 65, and probably even before that, those odds of having a catastrophic medical year go up to 12%. And if you're a family of two, I guess you're 24% maybe. When you're looking for catastrophic coverage, what do you look for?
A couple things. First, you look to make sure you understand what Plan X really has in the way of catastrophic coverage, because they often say they have a dollar limit of X, $5,000 or something, and there's a little footnote that says there may be some exceptions to this, a few loopholes. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, if you go through the brochure and you find the page where that's discussed, you'll find, oh, that doesn't cover prescription drugs. Well, you know, if you get cancer next year and you have a $50,000 chemotherapy bill, that's a pretty important loophole. So what Checkbooks Guide does, what we do, is actually adjust the claimed limits to figure out what the loophole amounts really are, okay, and try to present to you a apples-to-apples comparison across the plans as to which have lower and higher catastrophic coverage limits. So that's one simple thing, is to use the guide to compare plans and see what. And the differences are huge in the amounts. It also looks, you can find that certain categories of plans do a lot better. The HMOs tend to be very safe plans to join because they only charge nominal copays, and they cover, with some loopholes, just about everything else. The high deductible plans, all of them have for self only at no worse than a $5,000 catastrophic limit. That is, you never out of pocket more than $5,000. No loopholes, no ifs, ands, or buts. That's the worst that can happen to you. So, it's just a very important part of that little bit of homework everybody should do every year. Maybe you're otherwise happy with the plan you're in, but you ought to check, what's the catastrophic limit? Has it changed since the last time I looked? And by the way, are we expecting some expensive thing to happen next year? You can't predict getting hit by a truck or a bus, but you can predict having a baby, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
And check those limits or check special coverages.
Do you have a rating? Are there a list of plans that you find are best in catastrophic coverage? You mentioned the HMOs are pretty good.
Yeah. Actually, when you use the ratings, either online or in the print guide, mm-hmm. One of the key comparisons we give you is which plans, we actually list them more or less in order of the catastrophic limit. You could just run your eye down the table and say, ooh, that one looks real good. So it's a very clean, simple comparison, and you can also go in more depth and compare two or three plans side by side without seeing the clutter of all the others that you're eligible for. So that whole purpose of the checkbook guide is to make it possible for people to make that kind of plan comparison.
And it looked to me, as looking through your guide, that the worst plan, if you will, from that standpoint, you'd be out of pocket $15,000 to $17,000for a single person.
And those numbers include, by the way, I didn't mention, the premium is included.
Okay.
That's a for sure expense.
Yeah.
Some of these plans for self only, the premium is up in the range of, $3,000 or $4,000. So, you could be out of pocket $15,000-$16,000 in some of these plans.
Yeah, okay.
It's not, some of them it's a lot lower, though. Some of them it's $4,000 and $5,000 is the worst case.
202-465-3080. I got a call early this morning from a woman. She couldn't stay on the line, but she said her mother is a retired Fed, and she's has been in pretty good health, but she's going into assisted living now. I think she has Alzheimer's. My mother was a retired Fed, very similar situation, and between her government annuity and her government health plan, the federal health plan, she did very well. We, as a family, were out of pocket very little. I mean, and that this is a case where the government plan really shines, doesn't it?
Well, wait a minute. You got to be careful here. The health plans themselves will not cover custodial care in a nursing facility.
Right.
But given that you're a federal annuitant.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry, I left out the key component. She also, at my urging, got,
long-term care insurance.
Long-term care insurance,
And by the way, that's a huge fringe benefit. When I was a Fed, I bought into that program, and it's one of the, if you go to the opm.gov webpage, they have a whole section on federal fringe benefits, including the health insurance plans, including the dental plans, the vision plans, and long-term care insurance, flexible spending accounts. There's a lot of things you can do to position yourself for the worst.
Yeah, the situation was horrible for her, and it was tough on us. But all things considered, it was the best possible scenario because she had Social Security, she had civil service, she had the federal health plan of Goodwin, and the long-term care insurance. So it made it, you know, it gave her a greatly added level of dignity in those last couple of years. Medicare. People always wonder, asking about Medicare. Virtually everybody gets Part A, and I want to ask you about Part B, but we need to take a short break here, and we'll be right back on WFED 1500 AM.
The 16th annual BB&T Classic, presented by Boeing, benefiting the Children's Charities Foundation, returns to Verizon Center December 5th with a thrilling triple header of college basketball. The BB&T Classic, also brought to you by BMW of Fairfax, P.F. Chang's, and Masson, features Florida versus American, George Washington against Navy, and Maryland taking on preseason number 8 Temple. Tickets on sale now. For more information and to help make a difference with at-risk children, visit bbntclassic.com and on Facebook. The 16th annual BB&T Classic triple header, Sunday, December 5th at Verizon Center.
Ever notice how some government HR managers always seem to know the latest employment trends and data? Always seem to find the right candidates with the right skills? Don't get beat by them. Join them. Visit MonsterGovernmentSolutions.com. You can tap into the latest innovations, hear from experts, and see how others are implementing hiring reform. MonsterGovernmentSolutions.com. Everything you need to hire and retain a highly talented workforce.
Monster Government Solutions has always focused on one mission, to help people improve their lives. Today, innovation is driving that mission like never before. Monster has launched unequaled game-changing technology that will redefine the way seekers and employers search, connect, and plan. Monster Government Solutions works with federal agencies right here in Washington to deliver the talent they need to thrive. Visit MonsterGovernmentSolutions.com to join the Monster Government Solutions community. Get the Monster Advantage.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. We're in the final stretch here. And by the way, I should mention, I guess I have not said it, the open season ends December 13th. So there's still plenty of time, but you don't want to mess around with this. This is every year we say the same thing, and every year it seems to be more and more true. And that is that it's important to shop. Don't do what most people do and do nothing. Stay in the same plan. This year, you've got a number of changes, as you pointed out, maybe a higher number than usual. You have the fact that federal workers are most likely will not be getting a pay raise in 2011 or 2012, but the health premiums don't care about that. They're going to continue to go up. So people really need to shop around. How do you start?
One place to start is just with your current plan, okay? You know, do I like the coverages still in the light of my current health situation? How's the catastrophic limit looking to me? Am I happy with the premium? How does the premium compare to other plans? And as soon as you start raising that kind of question, of course, then you want to look. And people could do their own comparison. You know, you can look at premiums. It's easy to go to the OPM website and compare the premiums. Think that the best way by far is to look at a plan comparison that takes into account their insurance value, as you mentioned, good year, average year, bad year, and use Checkbook's guide to compare plans. But the point is, regardless of how you approach that, you should be comparing a few plans. I mean, think about the possibilities. We rate in general the consumer-driven and high-deductible plans as spectacular buys. They've gone from practically zero enrollment 5 or 6 years ago. They now have 75,000 federal employees and annuitants. Oh, yeah, they work for annuitants. And they even work with Medicare Part B, though you don't get that 100% wraparound, but they actually are a very good combo with Medicare Part B. So whatever your situation, from active employee up through retiree, with or without Medicare, you really should be comparing some plans and think a little bit outside the box, hopefully. if you don't want to think too much, at least spend half an hour.
Okay, but as you say, start with the plan you, the date you came in with. Medicare Part B, always get questions, and I guess there's no stock answer to this, but Medicare Part A is what?
That's the hospital side, and it's free.
Okay, most people have that. Medicare Part B is the doctor side of it, the doctor side of the equation. And if you have it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Medicare becomes the primary payer?
Correct. Though people don't, federal annuitants often don't think of it that way. They think of it as Medicare supplementing their federal plan. But technically and legally, it's the other way around. And what, as most people know, the national plans, all of them guarantee that if you use preferred providers and you have Medicare Parts A and B, you pay zero for a hospital or doctor. And all of them except Blue Cross Basic give you the same deal out of network. So that combination is a spectacular way to give yourself full, you know, free fee-for-service medicine, any doctor in America, et cetera. And that's advantageous to people, but there's a price to it. And I will illustrate the price with a simple single number. If you have if you're a married couple with Medicare Parts A and B and Blue Cross Standard Option, that's the most popular combo in this program for annuitants, you will pay next year $7,500 in total premiums, even if you never, and you'll spend that money if you never see a doctor. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, aren't there some alternatives? Well, one alternative is to move down to a less expensive plan that gives you the same guarantee. GEHA Standard is a very popular alternative. Save a couple of grand in premium dollars and have all the pretty much all the same benefits. There are some drug benefit differences, though, so you have to think about that, Blue Cross being better. Another alternative is to drop Medicare Part B or never sign up for it. Take your pick, depending. And a lot of people are reluctant to even think about that. But the reality is that that health plan you had at age 64 didn't turn a whole lot worse at age 65. I mean, you know, what's impelling you to pick up Medicare Part B? And another, you will get, of course, the extra coverage, but it will not repay the cost of the premium. You're going to be out of pocket at least half the premium. A third key variable is that everyone doesn't pay the same Part B premium anymore. If you retired more than 2 years ago and had Part B deducted out of your Social Security check, you're paying $96.40 a month. And it hasn't changed, and it won't change next year. But people who newly retire next year are going to pay about $115 a month. Okay? Mm-hmm. They're not grandfathered. There's a special grandfather status that applies to that first group. And furthermore, if your retirement income is more than $70,000 adjusted gross income, the IRS definition a year for self-only or $85,000 for self-only and $170,000 for couple, you will pay much more than $115 a month. And each of you for a couple will pay much more. And it could be two or three times more because it's income tested now. And if you're in that income tested group, you got to really seriously consider dropping Part B simply because you're paying a ton of money for a relatively small benefit.
Now, if you don't take it, you're eligible at, 65?
Right.
If you don't take it, or if you take it and then drop it, and then you want to come back, is there a penalty?
Yeah, there's a 10% a year penalty, and I think one way to think of it is, let's say you don't take it at age 65, and at age 75 you change your mind. But what you have done is for 10 years you've saved $1,200 a year, whatever that is. You don't actually save all of that because you would have gotten some of it back in reduced copayments and so on. But, you know, you probably saved $1,000 a year for 10 years. That's $10,000. And if you put it in the bank, you know, or stock market and earn some money, you may have $12,000, $15,000. Okay? Now you go back into Medicare. 10% a year penalty, it's not compounding. It's after 10 years, you pay double the premium that you otherwise would have paid. So now instead of paying $96 a month, let's say you're paying, you know, $200 a month, $2,400 a year. It takes a lot of years before you've wiped out that $12,000 or $15,000 you have in the bank. So you're not giving away everything by dropping out.
And I guess what's the reason people do it is in that 10-year period, if you get really, really sick, then obviously you'd be better off with Medicare Part B.
Yeah. And a very important point, you can always rejoin Part B and pay the penalty. If you drop out of the federal employees program, you're gone for one day. You're out forever.
Good point. Take a short break here, talking with Walton Francis on WFED 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
Please. Join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, Dell, and Aview Technologies. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
The Voluntary Contributions Program is a nice savings perk, but not everyone is eligible. In fact, FERS employees don't get to participate at all. However, they get another break. Under the Federal Employee Retirement System, you're eligible for a 5% matching contribution to the Thrift Savings Plan, but only if you contribute 5% too. Financial planners say it's a major benefit that is equal to a 5% tax-deferred pay raise. I'm Amy Morris.
Attention all civilian federal employees. Did you know there is a nonprofit association founded in 1943 that provides life insurance at rates far less than the federal program, and it also offers annual premium refunds and a college scholarship program? The company's name is WEPA. WEPA enables federal employees to purchase better life insurance at far better prices. To learn more about WEPA's low premium rates and refund history, visit WAEPA.org. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
Video teleconferencing solutions are changing the way people communicate by breaking down walls and enabling face-to-face communication, regardless of distance or environment. Tanberg, now a part of Cisco, developed Break Down the Walls to provide a window into the ways government, education, and healthcare organizations are using VTC solutions to help them operate more effectively and efficiently, and the ways video solutions can be used to address challenges facing public sector organizations today. Learn more at BreakDownTheWalls.com.
FLIR Systems has a singular focus on providing thermal imaging night vision systems for search and rescue, surveillance, and force protection across the globe. We proudly support the men and women who serve, defend, and protect by providing leading-edge technology to enhance mission success. Today, customers trust in FLIR Systems thermal imaging products and rely on our responsive support worldwide. Visit FLIR.com/GS for more details. FLIR Systems, extraordinary vision for extraordinary heroes.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for December is the Capital Area Food Bank. When is the last time you went to bed hungry? Right here in the Washington metro area, over 200,000 children are going to bed hungry each night. Help the Capital Area Food Bank make this holiday season special for children in need. For every dollar you donate, the food bank can provide three meals. For more information, visit federalnewsradio.com. And remember, hunger never takes a holiday.
Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey, and I'm talking with Walton Francis. He's the editor for the past 32 years of the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans, and it is a Bible for many people, and I could not get through an open season without it, and I've recommended it to many people. And there's a good chance your federal agency may have subscribed to the electronic version for you. So go to your HR office or ask somebody who's savvy about workplace goings on and see if your agency is not in it, because I've
Mike, just go online and look.
Okay.
www.guidetohealthplans.org. On the homepage, you can look up and see if your agency is one that bought you a free subscription.
Yeah, right. And if they didn't, heaven forfend, people can actually buy the guide in newsstands and subscribe to it electronically themselves.
Right.
And you know, when you're talking about savings of $1,000 to $2,500 a year, it's just worth shopping around. During the break, we were talking about some things that we hadn't. You said, by the way, you can drop your Medicare if you want, and there may be some advantages to that financially. But never drop your federal health insurance. I mean, Washington, as you know, when we talk about a mixed marriage in Washington, we mean a federal worker and a non-federal worker. And in the old days, not so much now, but in the old days, sometimes the private health insurance was better than the federal program or cheaper or something. So a Fed would drop their coverage and go on their husband or wife's private sector plan. But a lot of people were in for a rude awakening when the health plans changed, when they got divorced, when a spouse died or something. So you need that federal program as an ace in the hole. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, because if you don't have the health insurance for the 5 years prior to retirement, in virtually every case, If you're not in one of the plans, then you can't suddenly say, hey, you know, I'm retiring, I'm older, I'm obviously going to be sicker. Now I'll think I'll sign up. It doesn't work that way, right?
Yeah, I was just, absolutely. It's vital that you stay in for 5 years continuously or be covered. You don't have to be, it could be your spouse covering you, so that on the day you retire, you get to keep the coverage. I was talking to a friend the other day. He's 65. He hasn't been in the FEHBP because he's covered by his wife. I said, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to work till I'm 70.
Uh-huh.
What should I do? All right, work content till you're 70, because if you retire at age 69, you're out of luck. Interestingly, in his situation, they're going to keep the wife's coverage. His best deal by far was to join a high deductible plan, because he gets a savings account that actually is more money than he'll spend in premium. He'll actually wind up, the family will wind up their money mm-hmm. ahead, okay, if he has a high deductible plan. It's like... and plus, he can make catch-up contributions to his health savings account. The details mm-hmm. are complicated.
Sure.
But wow. And people are not thinking. I mean, here's a guy. He actually kind of had it figured out.
Yeah.
And I saved him.
Well, you saved him. And it's interesting because he's a friend of yours. He knows the guru personally. He's been in the room with you. And yet he didn't take advantage of this very basic thing. If you want to do, and I guess this falls in two categories. If you want to buy insurance so that you can have insurance, to qualify for the federal plan, and or if you're a young person turning 26 in 2011 who has to go into another plan, aren't there some preferred plans for people like that? Yeah, let me low premium, good coverage.
Right, and let me. I know we're close to running out of time.
Yeah.
The age 26, the new benefit that kicks in due to health reform starting January 1st, it's up to age 26, covering your adult and maybe or maybe not dependent child. If they're in the program when they turn 26, they then can get 3 years temporary continuation coverage up till 29. You have to pay the whole premium. So the question is, what's inexpensive? Answer, mail handler's value option, Kaiser standard option, or, and my favorite choice, a high deductible plan. Get that kid into an IRA on steroids, okay? Mm-hmm. And the healthier they are, the better. But it's great protection against high cost, too, if they're the one who gets hit by
and
a bus.
And what are those three again? The mail handler's value?
Yep. It's got the lowest premium in the whole program.
Mm-hmm.
Kaiser standard option, which has a very low premium. And again, whether you're healthy or sick, Kaiser has lots of advantages,
mm-hmm.
okay? You, like all the other plans, you get that free annual physical, but you get a lot more. And then the third category, and there's several plans in it, is to join one of the high deductible plans. Aetna has a very good one. GEHA has a very good one. Mail Handlers has a very good one. And in those plans, you will be able to set up a health savings account, and it can grow the rest of your life. It goes in tax-free, it grows tax-free, and you take it out tax-free.
So do all of the HD plans, the high deductibles, have savings accounts?
Yes, that's one of the requirements
yeah.
for that kind of plan.
Okay, I see. And you're very big on those, you see.
Well, because it turns out when Checkbook rates them, they sort of lead yeah. the pack. They're such good buys.
Well, somebody did a study. You know, everybody's politically correct these days, but somebody did a study a couple of years ago, and their conclusion was, we didn't say it particularly, was that the people who are in these HD plans are much smarter than other people. Getting the go signal here. Walt Francis, thank you so much for being on. Guess we'll do this one more time before open season ends, but thanks a lot for it. Remember, the open season does end December 13th. This show is archived on our homepage, so if you want to listen to it again or pass it along to a friend, it would be a good idea. So stay safe, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m.
Congressional Spotlight on Federal News Radio is presented by AT&T, investing in its network today to connect America's small businesses to the dreams of tomorrow. AT&T, your world delivered.
Here's Dawn Leaf, Senior Executive for Cloud Computing, NIST, and the Federal Executive Forum on Government Cloud Computing, sponsored by Red Hat.
Those types of services and the boundaries on the improvements we can't envision. Just as historically there's a technology we think we will get certain benefits, and then those benefits exceed what we envisioned, mm-hmm. I think that will be the case here.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Cloud computing is one of the most important shifts in IT to occur in decades.
Red Hat is proud to be a leader in delivering the infrastructure your agency needs for reliable, agile, cost-effective cloud computing. And it's all based on open source and open standards. That means your agency will save money with a foundation of highly secure systems built for scaling. Learn more at redhat.com/cloud. That's redhat.com/cloud.
Leading the way to better vision, United Healthcare Vision understands the importance of good eyesight for you and your family. That's why their vision programs offer federal enrollees and their families a convenient